I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And so it began, a new covenant of love between God and his people, between God and us. At times when I preside at funerals, I like to take something from a book titled 101 Things You Should Do Before You Go to Heaven. And if I find something that relates to the deceased and some interest they had while they were walking this earth. And I guess you can call this book a bucket list of sorts. For example, read the classics, watch a meteor shower, speak well of others behind their backs, build a sandcastle, be an answer to prayer, refuse to act your age. That's okay. Bucket list, that term really became popular during the movie of the follow of the similar name, The Bucket List, in 2007, starring Morgan Freeman and Jack Nicholson. And perhaps many of you have your own bucket list. But as I was reflecting on the readings for this weekend, I have to believe that, spiritually speaking, God had one too. And the top item on God's bucket list was, is, and always will be, that all people, all creation, will love him as much as he loves us. Now, my friends, he thought that with this Old Testament covenant with the Jewish people, that would have been it. But we're told today that, reminded that it was broken by sin. The Israelites in the desert broke that by sin. In fact, we remember the golden calf, don't we? Remember how irate Charlton Heston was? Moses, if you watch the movie. He was. And last week, we heard from 2 Chronicles how the Israelites added infidelity to infidelity to God and how they abused the temple. So the Jewish people were in dire straits. And so was our relationship with God. But there's a saying that God loves us just as we are, but too much to leave us that way. And so God, who is merciful, forgives and remembers sins no more. So God needed another plan. And what a plan it was. He would make a new covenant of love with his people. It would be a covenant of hope, a covenant that would never be superseded, a covenant that would endure forever. And the prophet Jeremiah tells us about it today. He says that the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with my people. Now, this covenant that God is going to make is unlike the Old Testament. It won't be written on stone tablets, but it'll be written upon our hearts. So we can picture God saying, okay, that's a great plan. And perhaps he's up in heaven, he's kind of scratching his jaw, a little bit, his chin, and he says, okay, but how am I going to do this? And then snaps his fingers. Of course, my son, Jesus will fulfill this new covenant. And people will once again have access to eternal life in heaven. So enter Jesus down into our earthly life, born of the Blessed Virgin Mary and Joseph. And we're told in the Gospels elsewhere that Jesus grew in stature and wisdom. And Jesus knew that he would return to the Father, but not until the Father's will was completed and not until this new covenant of which we're speaking was fulfilled. So if we step back in time with Jesus, can I put yourselves back a couple thousand years or so, Jesus had a bucket list too. So we all have one. And Jesus had this bucket list, and if we walk along with Jesus, we can hear him as he checks it off as he walks along. Get baptized, check. Go on retreat in the desert, check. Gather disciples, check. Drive out demons, heal the sick, check. Teach God's kingdom through parables, check. Feed a hungry crowd of 5,000, check. Walk on water, check. Teach discipleship, check. Meet Elijah and Moses on Mount Tabor, check. eat with sinners and tax collectors. Check. Enter Jerusalem. Double check. My friends, this list is not complete yet, not by a long shot. And this is where we are in today's gospel. Jesus enters Jerusalem for the Passover. Now, remember back in John chapter 2, when Jesus said to Mary, "My hour has not yet come." Today, what's he tell us in the gospel? "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." It's time for Jesus to give glory to the Father by giving up his life. And he does this not for his sake, but for ours. So Jesus is there. He has his bucket list. He has all the check marks except a few. And he looks ahead and says, "Okay, what's my plan for the week? I'm going to have a supper with my apostles. I'm going to give them my body and my blood, my true food and my true drink. And then I'm going to go after supper, I'm going to go into the Garden of Gethsemane, and I'm going to pray for strength and obedience to do the Father's will. And then I'm going to get arrested and go on trial. And then I'm going to suffer, and I'm going to carry the cross to Calvary and be lifted up for the forgiveness of sins. And then I'm going to resurrect." Yeah, that's what I'll do. "And I'll open up the way to eternal life for all people. And then I'm going to ascend to the Father, and I'm going to send down my Holy Spirit upon the world." And on the bottom of this checklist, there's a check. It says, "Mission completed, new covenant fulfilled." That easy. As we continue journeying with Jesus in this last full week of Lent, and because we're looking to Holy Week on next Sunday, Palm Sunday, we might add to our bucket list, we might add this item. We need to take time to reflect on the events of that week. Take time to reflect on Jesus' hour to be glorified. Because through the new covenant, my friends, Jesus came to gather all peoples to himself and to God. And Jesus refers to himself in a way as a grain of wheat that falls and dies. And we know that through Jesus' death, he produced much fruit. He gave us life. And by Jesus giving up his life, he gave us a pattern for our Christian life. To live a life of self-sacrifice. To turn away from sin, to avoid all things that lead us away from God. And each time we worship at Mass, we remember that new covenant that God gave us, a new covenant of love, don't we? When the priest prays the words of Jesus, "This is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant." And then finally, my friends, Jesus calls us, he says, "Serve me." What does that mean? That means to carry our crosses along with Jesus. Because if we can carry our cross to Calvary, we can carry our cross, our new life in the resurrection. St. Augustine said it very well. He says, "Apart from the cross, there is no ladder by which we can get to heaven." Make sense? Think so. My friends, as we continue this liturgy and we hear the words, "This is my body, this is my blood," let us humbly give thanks to our Heavenly Father and the love of the Father who forgives our sins and remembers them no more. Let us give thanks to our Heavenly Father for a love that sent his Son down to us that he may be lifted up in death, that we may be lifted up into eternal life. Amen?
Amen. Amen.